thing bother the Zoom people? No. No. Tzvi says no. Okay, good. So let's begin. Again, we were discussing this Gemara here on Zion Amud Beis, and this is, as I say, a big mafteach for analyzing, you know, mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah, basically. So you just have to remember, basically, in other words, again, there are two issues here. One, of course, is the, or three issues we could call it. One is the criteria question, multiple criteria. What determines or what dictates, you know, when you need a birchas hamitzvah, and if so, which type of birchas hamitzvah? And that, of course, in itself is very interesting. The second issue closely connected to that is the kind of broader meta-halachic or phenomenological issue, and that is the categories themselves of mitzvos or types of mitzvos that are reflected in these, you know, in these different, you know, views. Like, the question of, you know, levels of, you know, chiyuv that's mutal, olav, you know, when other people can do things, but they're doing it because all you care about is the result, when they're doing it as a kind of shlichus, the different levels of that, you know, when there's an additional kiyum, you know, when one person as opposed to another does it, because it's an added dimension in the mitzvah. That whole structure is a valuable thing to be thinking about. There are mitzvahs that focus on the maisa, there are mitzvahs that focus on the, you know, chalos, or the chefzeshel mitzvah. So that's the second takeaway. And then, of course, the third takeaway is the one where you get into, you know, a myriad of details, and that is when you plug in all the different specific mitzvos, you know, what insights, you know, result in terms of understanding, you know, the motifs of those mitzvos, whether it is Mila or Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, or Megillah, or Shofar, or Trumas Maestros, or Achilas Matzah, or, you know, Erusin, and Nisuin, and Tefillah, and so on and so on and so on. So anytime you're basically, you know, investigating, exploring, you know, any particular mitzvah, you know, obviously this this sugya becomes, you know, very important. How did the Rishonim, you know, who are struggling with, you know, finding consistent formulae, how did they cope with the, you know, the dissenting, you know, contradictory evidence, and what, you know, conclusions did they reach about these particular, you know, mitzvahs? And we've touched on, again, you know, some of the ones I just, lulav, of course, you know, bir chametz, you know, all these various mitzvahs are, you know, being, you know, examined, and, you know, the Rishonim are being pushed, and not just the Rishonim, but there are more Rishonim than what we've seen, and there are plenty of, you know, poskim and achronim, you know, as well, either who make small, you know, revisions, or in some cases, you know, big, you know, other mahalchim. So what are they, you know, what are they, you know, reconstructing in order to solve these problems? These are really invaluable, you know, insights. And, you know, we've touched on some of them, again, in some of the mitzvahs, but there's so much more, of course, you could do. And whenever you are studying those topics, you know, then this becomes a locus classicus. This becomes a place to look, you know, where you're going to get further insight. You know, you want to study Neiros Chanukah, you come to the sugya, you know, to fill out the picture, or mezuzah, or, you know, Trumas HaMaisras, or Sfiras HaOmer, etc. So that's kind of what we have been doing. Those are the three levels. The you know, these are the three levels, and you know, you can spend a lot of time on it. We've spent, you know, about three shiur, four shiur, whatever it is, but maybe this is the fifth shiur. I'm not sure, but you can see that we're trying to do the basic things that Alatar, the basic we've shown him. You know, we're sticking with mostly the Ramban and the Rambam and the Rosh and, you know, the Bali Tosis and the Ran, you know, and a little bit more. You know, it's all over the place, and there's just much, much more to talk about. Okay, so we were in the middle. I do want to finish just discussing the things that the Ramban certainly brings up, finish with that, and before we move on, and then we'll, you know, try to go to the next topic, which is massive, you know, in its own right. So I think we were in the middle of discussing the Ramban, and I think the last thing that we were talking about was the view, the main view of the Ramban, the one that the Ramban embraces, you know, the already associated with some of the Bali Tosis, and that is that there's a difference between, a mitzvah that is mutal on a particular individual, as opposed to ones which can be done al yaday acherim. And as we noted, it's hard to know exactly what that is also, because there's, you know, gray area in between those two things. Obviously, there are things that are mitzvah shebegufa, which require the physical performance of this individual, or there are certain legal things which only can be accomplished, you know, but physically by, the mitzvah. And then there are other things where you don't even need shlichus; you can, you know, farm things out, and anybody can do them. And then in between that, of course, you know, what about shomea ka'one? What about shlichus? What about different types of shlichus? What about a situation where, you know, somebody else can do it, but when you do it, it's preferred, and it's not just midin, bo yoser b'shlucho, you know, in a kind of hislavus, you know, b'mitzvos, but it's because when you do it, there's an added dimension. Or, you know, it's really mutal alecha, and other people can do it, and it can still be associated with you, but in the end of the day, the mutal alecha component is something to speak about. So, you know, that, just the gray areas in between are crucial, just as when we were talking about the first criterion, the question of, you know, in mitzvos that are a simple maisa, one and done, as opposed to more elongated, we were talking there also, there are gray areas. You know, what about a chiyuv tmiti? What about a maisa mimushach, as opposed to a kiyum? Or what about, you know, where you do a maisa bekumba asay, and then you kind of continue with it, or it continues, or doesn't end, but you're not actively, you know, a maisa levisha, but then you're lovesh. You know, how do you look at that? And, you know, how does the halacha look at it? And does it always look at it, you know, in the same way? Like, in theory, you could say that wearing, even, you know, for sure, tzitzis and kelayim, you know, and tefillin, but even within tefillin itself, you could, you know, distinguish between tefillin shel yad, you know, and tefillin shel rosh. We'll get back to that in just a second, but, you know, is it a coincidence? You know, again, the Rishonim do discuss, you know, why it is that they have different types of brachos, lehaniach and al mitzvahs. Some of them try to say, you know, they're mostly the same, but that's where you get the aesthetic thing. You know, we don't use the same language, which I was suggesting means, and therefore we would like to accentuate the small difference as opposed to simply saying that you're choosing aesthetically different language. But it could be even much more, you know, than that. First of all, there's a question in general, you know, about tzitzis and tefillin and you know, across the board. And that is, again, just simply to figure out what's going on when you're wearing them, in terms of, you know, as I say, the kumbase part. But even in terms of the mitzvah part, is the mitzvah, even the Rishonim here, who are struggling with this issue, have different formulations. Some of them say, well, the mitzvah is to be, you know, me'utaf, you know, betzitzis, or, you know, me'utaf, or whatever it is, you know, melubash, you know, betzvilin. That's different than saying, you know, that the levisha or the hanacha or the, you know, ituf, you know, hasn't ended because it's still on you, either as a kiyum or as an active maisa or as a passive, you know, part of the maisa. That's very different than saying that the mitzvah is to be meutaf, you know, or melubash, right? In one case, it's still focusing on the maisa, albeit you're, you know, kind of weighing, you know, different intense and qualitative levels of that maisa. But you're still, you know, focusing, at least initially, and maybe even in the continuation, on the maisa. Whereas in the other case, and this is the Lishonos of some of the Rishonim, the Rush and others, What you're really saying is that the mitzvah is the result of being melubash. So even when you put it on, right, what you're doing is the hechatimtzi of creating that result. Then that probably completely, changes your perspective. Because if you focus on the maisa, so then clearly that original moment, is an intense, an intense, pivotal time, action. And then the question is, how much of that just continues in diluted form, or maybe turns, or just into kiyum, etc. Or maybe turns into something else. Maybe it starts off as a maisa, and then it becomes, and the hemshech is, being me'utaf, not even simply, not the continuation of lovesh, right, but now being lavush, etc. Whereas, if you see, the mitzvah to begin with, based on the continuation, of being me'utaf, being melubash, etc., then basically the goal, is to get the effect. And the action still has some status, for sure, but it, is less important. Maybe it's the Maisa Mitzvah, it's not the Kiyuma Mitzvah, maybe it's not even the Maisa Mitzvah, right? Or it's the Maisa Mitzvah to create the result. So in that gufa, there are different lishonos of Rishonim. You could be mechalek, in theory, you have to look very carefully at the psukim, at the dinim. You could be mechalek between, tzitzis and tefillin, for sure. Even, tzitzis and kelayim on the mitzvah on the Easter level. But you even could be mechalek between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, right? You could say that, in tefillin shel yad, it's the the mitzvah to kshartem in the pasuk, and the mitzvah and the brachas, lahaniach, whereas in tefillin it's al. So again, some rishonim say, we want to use different language, it's also the gemar. Are they trying really to be memite the differences, and then the question is, but yeah, still, how much are they acknowledging that there are subtle differences? But you could take a much bigger, chiluk and say, that it's really fundamentally different. That tefillin shel yad is about the maisa hanacha, at least that initial moment, and the bracha, and tefillin shel rosh is fundamentally about being meutaf or meutar actually, in tefillin. And a lot of achronim say that, like many bar mitzvah drashos, have been given about this. In our family, so when we were all bar mitzvah, we took my, father, learned with us some of the pilpula. My great grandfather, or sefer called Yodas Nadarim, and in the back he had pilpulim. Actually, some of the pilpulim are his, and some of the pilpulim were famous pilpulim that he learned with his children. And he just liked them a lot, and he thought that it trained their minds. At least that's what he says in the Hagdamah. So, there are a lot of them. There are two or three of them, I think, about tefillin. And I'm the third son in the family. So, they ran out of the tefillin once. I spoke about kiddushin, at the age of, bar mitzvah. I think I've said in the past, when we learned kiddushin, I said that I have, sentimental inclination to the sugya of, kid shebetamra, right? That's really what. My bar mitzvah drasha was a pilpul. Of Kitcha Batamra, Filomed Kurtzvar and Bedinar, Chashinan Shemeshov and Pruta Bamadai. So it sticks out of my mind. But my brothers, they came before me and they got to speak about Tefillin. So one of the Pilpulim is on this topic. But it's like a very, I know in the they published a couple years ago, some of the Rav Shiurim on Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. And he has a very similar Mahalach, and many, I think the Rugachover has this also in his farm. Again, people say it a little bit of in different ways, but this idea that there's a fundamental difference between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, and that in tefillin shel yad, both the language of the psukim, again ukshartem vayula totafos bein einecha, but sukshartem laos al yadecha. So the one is a verb, one is verb oriented, mice oriented, the kshira. And the other is v'ayula totafos beinecha. It's result oriented, it's effect oriented. Of course, the question is what? Every time you put on tefillin that's, you know, considered, you know, obviously not doing the kshira. That's an issue also. Like, what do we mean by that? But by the hanacha and the, you know, the tziruv to the original kshira. Anyways, so this is a big big question. So the nusach habracha, the language of the psukim, you know, imply that, and the nusach habracha, you know, implies that, and you know, then you have to look at the, what the Rishonim really say about this. So some of them again seem to be, you know, bridging the gap. Of course, you know, the very fact that in tefillin, again, I don't want to get the problem with this topic is that you can talk, you know, for days about each, you know, each example. We don't want to do that, but we do want to give a little taste, and we all want to exemplify, you know, what the stakes are and what the potential is. So that's kind of what we're doing. And there's a little bit of Yetzer Hara because, you know, you don't have the opportunity to speak about these topics so often, and, you know, when they come up, you know, so you get a little carried away. But the, you know, the point is that there are other, you know, issues in Nav Kamina. Of course, part of the problem when it comes to tefillin, and part of certainly what motivated Rishonim to narrow the gap, is the idea, you know, that there is also a commonality, a unity, you know, between them. In terms of how many mitzvos there are, in minyan mitzvos, which is a debate, and of course that sugya that, you know, they all refer to, you know, sach bein tefila letefila, which is certainly, you know, strongly condemned, I wouldn't even say discouraged, but condemned. And then the question, you know, how many brachos you really make. You only make two brachos if it was, you know, a hafsek or not. So that, you know, on the one hand, the fact that you, you know, shouldn't be mafsek, and especially if those Rishonim were of the opinion, you know, that it's one bracha, you know, ideally. You know, so the idea that, you know, these are two very different, you know, mitzvos, you know, needs to accommodate that. Again, I don't have so much trouble with that because I like complex systems. So, you know, the idea that there's one mitzvah or one bracha even that includes, you know, different emphases of the components, you know, is, it's not so obvious, but it's not also, you know, unprecedented. However, you know, all things being equal, the fact that, you know, if it's true that ideally it's one bracha, then you would think, well, the, even when it's two brachos, you know, it's basically one kind of mitzvah with two parts, as opposed to saying, as opposed to accentuating, you know, the differences. But, you know, the difference in psukim and the difference in nusach habracha, and especially if that difference, you know, is perceived by the Rishonim as representing, you know, the lumdus or the details, you know, that pushes you in the other direction. You know, hence that alone is, you know, something for the Bar Mitzvah boy to, you know, to speak about. I'm trying to get over, you know. I was actually very happy with the Kitchen Batamra. Gave me a very you know, special you know, feeling and connection to Masechet Kedushim. Anyways, the yeah, so these are our examples, you know, of the kind of things that we are, you know, we're talking about. And just again, the language that Rishonim use in here, just different, you know, just look at, you know, the Ramban, the Ram, the Rosh, the Tosa Rosh, Tosa Bet Peretz, the Meiri, you know, the Michtam, etc. And solving the problem, there can be a very slight, you know, there's not so much of a difference between saying, you know, it's a mitzvah that continues because you're going to remain. And I'm saying that the mitzvah to begin with is to be ma'utaf. You know, if you're on the, you know, you're very, you know, kind of looking for it, then, you know, you'll see it and you'll find it. And you also have to be careful when you read Rishonim to see how meduyak they are, if they're not thinking about this distinction. But even subconsciously, sometimes the formulations are important, you know, for both in terms of triggering ideas, you know, in the person who's reading them. I also, you know, tend to believe, all things being equal, that subconsciously, you know, people formulate things, especially, you know, precise thinkers, you know, people who are masters in their field, will sometimes say things subconsciously or unconsciously, you know, that, you know, more precisely captures their thinking, and even if they weren't, you know, intending, you know, to convey that, like, if you then confront them and say, like, how come you said it that way, you know, you can reconstruct it, or they might even say, yeah, I guess I do say it that way for a reason, you know. So I think that what I'm suggesting is that we put all of this stuff under a you know, a microscope or a magnifying glass. I think not. You know, that's not pill pull. That's as good, serious, you know, reverent. I'm neglecting the, you know, the computer people for a moment. Reverent learning. So that these are things to look at and to think about. So just to finish off with the Ramban very quickly. I mean, where were we in the Ramban? I know we didn't finish, right? We were talking about. I think the last thing we were talking about was Neres Chanukah. At least to do a good job on the Ramban. So again, I thought the Ramban's idea that the reason we say, you know, Lahadlik on Neres Chanukah. Where were we? Shadloka mitzvah atzma. Again, the first one was Tzorich l'shtatufei b'priti. I think that's a very major argument. V'niyotzei l'bishul atzmo. This idea that the you can still talk about the hadlaka, you know, as being ikar and as being the maisa, as long as you have to be mishtatif b'priti, so then like almost everybody's involved in the act, even though one person is still doing it. V'od kivin sharoa nami mevarachum mitzvah liros b'shem b'shem b'nis. I think that's last kavu b'lamed. So that's a great, you know, example of, you know, of the kind of thing that we're talking about, as I think I started to say, because that's one of the major issues in Neros Chanukah. You know, whether the Birchas HaRoeh and the Pirsumei Nisa aspect, you know, is a independent, you know, motif, mechayev, you know, and separate from the Hadlaka, or whether they really are integrated, and if they are integrated, like, you know, to what extent does each of these very different hadlakas, a measured, objective, active, you know, maisa and persumenisa, and re'ia is a response and an experience, you know, and an effect. So if you do think that they are interconnected, which I think is very, very compelling in the Neres Chanukah, and one of the things that makes it unique, then of course it's a parallel question by Kriya Samagila, but and the role of Avhenai Bosanes, but doesn't mean that they're the same. This means it's parallel. If you really think this is the case, so you know, you might, you know, find evidence, you know, in two opposite directions. Namely, even the Re'ia part is treated, you know, as a Maisa and is integrated into the Hadlaka, or even the Hadlaka part, you know, is integrated into the Riyah. These are the things that we talk about typically, you know, before Chanukah. So again, this idea of, I mentioned it the other day, you know, when you make the Birchas HaRoeh, is it and also over Lasi Yasin or not? Like, if it is over Lasi Yasin, even though its content is Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, and especially if other, you know, Sha'asa Nisan Lavosenu type brachos are made after, and this one is Dafka made in front, then that's a really huge statement. And again, delaying Birchas HaRoeh so that you can integrate it with your own personal hadlaka, even though you encounter Re'ia, and I mentioned both of these last time. These are examples. I always try to explain that also, you know, may explain, you know, the view that, you know, you sing, you know, Haneros Halalu, you know, like in the middle of the hadlaka, according to some, like after the first nair or before the last nair, you know, you start singing Haneros Halalu. So that's a really strange thing. Like, why would you do that? Isn't that a hefsek, you know, to part of the hadlaka? But again, this idea that the Shevach V'Hodah and the Pirsum part are like more integrated in the case of Ner Chanukah than, you know, that's part of the character of what Ner Chanukah is, you know, explains that. So again, you get the phenomenon both places. You get, you know, the Shevach Hoda'a Pirsum parts, you know, being included in what typically is the Maisa Mitzvah, you know, and so on part, and you also have the opposite, you know, the idea that even the Hadlaka might has to predict or foreshadow, you know, and has to be done in a way, in a place, you know, in a way, you know, that is nitan, you know, the pirsum. So, you know, that gets to the questions of, for sure, of Kafsa Zaka, Kafsa Shena, Ena Zaka Club, but that's more of a problem because we pass in Kafsa, you know, Ein Zaka Club, unless there are exceptions, which some posts think there are in certain cases. But for other things, like, as I say, when, you know, what time, you know, where, like, you know, where do you put the menorah, and, you know, what time, and then how ma'akev is, you know, piercing, how much do you need the shemen to be inside, you know, the nair, or can you add it in afterwards? So if you're more, you know, effect-oriented, in the end of the day, if you're going to make sure that it lasts, and certainly if that's a separate kiyum, then add it afterwards. But it's, you know, seems like it's 2 days in the Rishonim, and it's certainly 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, you know, whether you can do that or not. Because you might, it might be a psul in the Hadlaka if you don't have enough shemen, you know, at the time, at the moment when you do the action, even if you're intending to, and even if in fact you do, you know, then, you know, kind of sustain the, you know, the flame, you know, through the period of Tichel Rego Menashuk. And Tichel Rego Menashuk itself, you know, as I say. How ma'akev is that? And, you know, like I say, the when, the where, the how much. Interesting, again, we noted, even though we showed him here all Atar, some of them, when they try to speak about, you know, the Shihiya, the first Deya, you know, so we talk about Mitzvah Tichel Rego Menashuk, and then whether that's an independent, that's the same issue, just applied to the other criterion. But some of the Rishonim talk straight, Tichel Rego Menashuk, about how long it lasts, like the rush, etc. And the Ramban talks about, you know, the Shemen, you know, Shebener, that's going to produce the... the Shemen Shebener that's going to produce, you know, that long. I think that's a very, very small point. If you weren't sensitive to, like, this whole question, that's a great example. Like, you know, does a Shemen need to be there at the time, or can you add it later? You might not even, and even then you might not even pay attention to it. But especially once you know that there's such an issue, and you're thinking conceptually what it might be about, so then it's, you know, noticing that, is, you know, becomes important, that the Ramban emphasizes the Shemen Shebener and how long it'll last. There's this famous question, you know, whether you apply Kitute Mechta Chiure, you know, to the Shemen of Ner Chanukah. Like, let's say, use Basar Bechalav, you know, candles. Basar Bechalav is Chayiv B'Sreifa, Chayiv, Vasar Ba'anah. Let's say you use, Neros Shel Yisra'anav Avodazara. You know, something you have to burn, let's say. Right? So this is like a famous question, you know, in the poskim, like, is there a din of Ketute Mechta Chiure? And what's the issue? So some of the poskim say, like, this is very similar to the problem that the Kesa Mishnah deals with about, you know, about Chalitza. You know, usually when you have a formal shiur, you know, so we apply the din of Ketute Mechta Chiure. We say if, you know, if it's Omed Lisrof, you know, in that, not Omed Lisrof Kesarof Domi, but Ketute Mechta Chiure, you know, then you don't, it's not considered a formal shiur. Right? Like if you have a lulav or an esrog, they require shiur, and they're from Mashera, you know, it's Ketute Mechta, you know, shiure. But let's say the shiur is more of a practical shiur. Right, so this is the question about sandal shel chalitza. Sandal shel chalitza, the size of the sandals, you know, is to fit the foot. So, you know, is it just basically something that will cover the foot? You know, it's more of a pragmatic shear. So is there a din of ketute mechta shiure on that? I mean, l'maisa, you know, you're supposed to destroy it, but you didn't destroy it. So it's physically there, right? If you know, if somebody spills water on your, you know, sandal, you know, it's still going to block it, right? So what kind of shiur, you know, is the shiur of Shemen in Ner Chanukah, right? Is it the shiur of Lemaisa Chetichle Rego Menashuk, right? And therefore there's no Ketute Mechta shiur, right? Because it'll burn that long. What do we care what it's made of? Or no, it's a shiur in Hadlaka. It should be a Hadlaka Sheyesh Bo Mishum, you know, Achatecha Regal Menashon. Kind of like the Ramban was formulating it. I'm not sure that he fully meant it, but you know, it's definitely food for thought, and maybe it really meant it. So, you know, these are all like very, you know, subtle in some cases, but very, very real, very substantive questions. And the fact that the Rishonim are being pushed, you know, to explain in a consistent way, you know, the rules of Hilchos Brachos, and, you know, applying, you know, to these various mitzvos, and that, you know, kind of motivating them, you know, to formulate them in a certain way is just tremendously, you know, inspiring. It's like, you know, Kaki, that's how Chiddush, and that you look this again, then you look at that, so, you know, that's how it works. Okay. So, the Chain, yeah.
Is everything that on the Mishnah, the Priti, and the Ramban, like, could it be that really, like, the house is lighting, and
I don't think he thinks that. I mean, if it's, that's being the Mitzuraf to the bias. I mean, I do think that that's, I think, as I mentioned the other day, I do think that's the more typical way to understand it. That you're being Mitzuraf to the, you know, you don't live in this house, but being mishtadet bepriti, you're mitzurav to that hadlaka or to that.
As
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it sounds like he's saying a big chiddush, and others don't like it, right? So, yeah, ina yotze ela bishel atzmo is a strong, you know, even once you see it, you say, really, you know. So, yeah. The Roa part also, as I say, is very fascinating. So the next line, and again, the Rush has some, accepts part of it, he thinks some, doesn't accept some of the other parts, and we can totally understand why that is. Yeah?
What do you really think of that Rabbi David's formulation to answer this question?
Which one is that?
He says, can I read?
Sure, please.
He basically asks for a nice passage, he says, Yish Lomar, Shemitzvah Sner Chanukah Vadei Einal Yishliyav,
Okay, it's a great formulation. I saw it originally, but I wasn't recalling that right now. So basically, he's saying that the focus is on. I think this is an extension of the Ramban, right? And again, the whole Ramban of David in this piece is, you know, based on the Ramban. And sometimes that's a great example of an extension of the Ramban. But what he's really saying is that we don't really care about the Maisa Hadlaka. You know, we care about the Chefs of Shemin and Psilos. And that's why Mishtatev Bepriti, you know, is good enough because it's yours. And that's why we don't care that the Balabayas Dafka should light, you know, even his own, you know, because as long as it's his, right? As long as it's his Shemanim and it's his Psilos and it's his, you know, everything else, then that's what makes it his, and it's like Shomea Kaona, you know, in the sense, and that, we're going to get back to this in a second, I kind of already alluded to it, like, you know, what exactly is Shomea Kaona, and what exactly is Shlichos, and the different types of Shlichos, you know, in this case, what he's saying is, you know, the Ikar part of Ner Chanukah is the Bailus, over, and I don't think that's so obvious at all, but I do think it's an extension of this Ramban about Mishnata Bebriti, because, you know, he's not lighting this guest.
And he goes even further to say that,
yeah,
if the Bala Bias and no one from his family are around, then you can't actually send a Shliach to...
Even if it is his Shemanim and Psilos, right.
You need to actually...
You have that line, just go ahead.
The Afal Pishikam of Amen Adam and Varach al-Ner Chanukah v'Beisa Shochaber v'Huay Nosham,
right. Right, that's a great extension. Because then there's no tzirif whatsoever. In other words, you need two things. The ikar thing that you need, and this is an extension of the Ramban, is, you know, bailos, that it should be your psilos ushmanim. And that's mechudash, I think. Very mechudash. But then it's considered... hadlaka shel, you know, ploni, or shel base ploni. But in addition to that, he's being mechadesh, that part of that tziruf requires the physical presence, you know, of somebody from the Bnei Abayis. But this is a great example, I'm glad you brought it up, of, you know, I think, you know, I'm not sure the Ramban would fully agree with that. You know, I don't know that he wouldn't. But if it wasn't for the Ramban saying what he says about Mishtatib, this comes after, I assume, he quotes the Ramban about Mishtatib Bepriti, if I remember, no. Either way, what I will say is, if the Ramban didn't say what he said about Mishtatib Bepriti, you couldn't go further, you know, and say what Rabbeinu David said. And I do think it's further, you know, but it's a great example of you know, this, you know, these levels or these, you know, this range. So great, thank you. On the other hand, the Rush and others, they just say, like, you know, Mishum, I think something like Mishum Chavivu Samitzvah, you know, typically Adam, you know, Madlik Betoch Beso, you know, and therefore, typically, again, he's not focusing on, you know, the lumdus, you know, the, you know, what the halacha needs to be, as much as, well, you know, the structure, typically, this is a bracha that is done by the, you know, by the bailim himself. So even though it's, it sounds like he's saying, even though it's efshar al yedei shlichus, you know, the fact that typically, you know, it's done al yado is enough, you know, for the nusach bracha. Which I, you know, think others would, or people like Ramban might say, no. I mean, it's all about, you know, the legal, you know, conceptual, you know, content of it. And again, in a way, the Rabbeinu David is a, because somebody else is doing it, you know, and as long as it's tziruf, you know, that's good enough, right? And the Rosh is saying, in Akhanami, it's afshar al yedei shliach. But Kiddush number one, that doesn't alone change the nusach habracha if the typically, you know, it's done, you know, al yedei balabayis. Because then accurately, even if not conceptually accurately, but practically accurately, you know, the language of le, you know, captures, you know, what typically happens. Unless you want to give a little bit more emphasis to the chivuv mitzvah, you know, part of it, which I would like to, but I suspect, you know, that I'm overreaching. It's not fair to say that's really what the Rosh has in mind. Although I think one could have said it, you know, by which I mean, just to make it clear, that's what I'm saying for the Rosh is, the Rosh is saying, listen, I'm not buying the Mishtatza Bepriti thing, and, you know, it is, you know, al yedei acher. This, you know, Mishtatza Bepriti wouldn't turn this into al yedei atzmo, or it doesn't work that way, or both. However, I think really what he's saying is, you know, if typically, you know, the mitzuveh is the one who's doing the mitzvah, you'll make the bracha even if he doesn't need to be the one. And why is it that typically, you know, the presumption is that he's going to do it, and that it'll always be that way, as opposed to, you know, it's been that way, you know, till 13th century, you know, whatever. And the answer is because, you know, chivuv mitzvah is, you know, is a reason, you know, for it to... Does anybody have language of the Rosh open? Yeah, who has it? You have it? Go ahead.
Yeah, he says,
yeah. Oh. So, what I would say is, you know, that's clearly just a very different orientation on the bigger issue. You know, what the brachas really, you know, or how flexible the nusach brachas are, you know, to practical as opposed to purely halachic, you know, considerations. In addition to the argument about, you know, the nature of the mitzvah that comes out of it. But one could have said, you know, that the factor of chivuv mitzvah ner Chanukah is a very, is a kiyum in a way. And by the way, particularly to say this about chivuv mitzvah in Ner Chanukah is, you know, is that it's a substantial and a substantive idea, you know, has, I think, strong roots. We've talked about it in the past, right? The Rambam says, you know, about mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi, you know, ad ma'od, you know, lefikach. So the Rambam, you know, makes the chavivus of Mitzvah Ner Chanukah to be a critical thing. The Balei Tosas, right in the end of Sukkah, trying to explain why there is a Birchas Re'iyah for Chanukah more so than other mitzvahs. Strange question, because you might have said, well, that's Chanukah is about Pirsumei Nisa, you know. But, you know, it's a very interesting, again, perspective. It says, oh, because it's, you know, the Chivu of Yisera, you know, which Klal Yisrael, you know, attached, you know, to Neros Chanukah. So this idea, you know, that, you know, there is more Chivuv, you know, HaMitzvah, which I think is true, you know, about Neros Chanukah, but that it's more than that, you know, the way I would try to explain it, and that is, you know, it's, the way I try to explain it, that it's connected to kind of Kiddush Hashem and Avas Hashem, again, things I've spoken about in Yortzeit Shiurim in memory of my mother, Alei HaShalom. And that is that, you know, there are a lot of indications, you know, that Neiros Chanukah is kind of an expression of Avas Hashem. And, you know, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nashecha v'chol mialdecha. You know, Yesh Adam sheh, you know, mechaviv, you know, mamono yoser migufo, v'yesh gufo yoser mimamono. You know, that whole issue and what the struggle of, again, I don't want to get too far afield, but it's not that time of year. But the idea that chibuv and that chiba and that, you know, that's connected partially to, you know, to Avas Hashem, and therefore, oh, if the chibuv is that you do it yourself, you know, that kind of is a dimension, even if it's Ayidei Shliach, that would be enough. I don't think that's what the Rush means. I mean, I'm trying to be honest. But I think that you could, you know, project that idea. Yeah.
It's interesting that Karban Asano, he entertains the possibility that, according to the Rush, Kibub is basically its own factor, but he doesn't limit it. He doesn't, when he wants to do that, he wants to expand it, Kibub, not to...
I mean, not just a Chivuv is a Hechetimtzi,
right, so
why it's likely that the Oreya, but that the Balabais will do it and will continue to do it. You have the line?
Yeah, he thinks the Nafkamina is going to be whether Avi HaBen by Milo
means on the one hand he's seeing it as chibuv as a halachic factor, like again zrizin or something chibuv mitzvahs, but he's universalizing it. Whereas what I'm saying is, you know, this is a particularly acute factor in certain mitzvahs, and particularly in Ner Chanukah.
Yeah.
Okay, put that on the record. Very good. Okay, so let's continue. Just again, well, I'm gonna have to run soon, so I guess we'll start the next sugya next time, but let's just get a little bit more in. What about Kia Shofar again? Who was reading? Nobody yet. Go ahead. Do you mind? Do you have it? The Ramban? Yeah. Okay. So the Chain Kia Shofar.
Chain Kia Shofar slash Mia Yia Mitzvah Mavarit Lishma. She has her last initially.
Oh. So here again, I think that, and I'm just going to say it now so that it'll help me say it in a minute. I figure out a way why this doesn't always... okay, so I think this is a really interesting question, too. First of all, as we know, there's a debate whether Tekiah Shofar is Bishmiyah B'Tekiah. And again, I'm not going to prosecute the whole case now. But what I do want to say is, and that, of course, is there's a debate that, you know, there seems to be two issues, one centering around the Nusach HaBracha in particular, right, Rabbeinu Tam versus, you know, the Rambam, and most Rishonim with the Rambam on this, whether, you know, the Bracha emphasizes the Tekiah or the Shmiah. But in assessing that, you know, it's a little more complicated. First of all, there are other issues involved. Does Tekiah Shofar operate through Shamea Kaona or not? Right? If there's a din in Tekiah, a mitzvah's Tekiah, then you need Shamea Kaona. It's a chiddush maybe that Shamea Kaona works for Tekiah. We know it works for Dibur. Doesn't necessarily mean that it works for Tekiah. moreover, you know, that would have impact on the way certain things work or don't work. Yeah. But in addition to that, you know, there seems to be, like, you know, mixed evidence even in the Rambam. I've talked about this before, Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, in years past. The Rambam is a very strong advocate of Shmiah. You know, and yet, in one of his tshuvas, you know, he seems to also acknowledge, you know, that tekiah is part of things. And, you know, this is something also I've mentioned, that even what we were talking about the other day, about sikha, you know, in the first, you know, view, that everything depends on miyad and shihui, and the question about the relationship between tekiah to miyushav and al seder abrachos. So I think I mentioned that this is a debate in the Gaonim already. The Rif quotes, the Rambam quotes, you know, about being mafsik. Something that, you know, halacha l'maisa is a big issue in all shuls. You know, the rabbi typically tells you, you know, not to be mafsik till the end. But it's interesting that the Rambam paskins, you know, the middle sheet in the Gaonim, which is that the tokeya should not be mafsik. You know, but the shomim, you know, could be mafsik. The Rambam also, you know, records the view that, you know, all the, ideally, you should have one tokeya mitchila v'yatzov. So again, the more you think that, you know, tekiya is just a hechatimtzi and everything is about shmia, you know, of course it has to be shmia of a chefza shol kol. There's no question about that. Like, you know, you can't hear from the radio, and you can't hear from somebody who's not a bar chiyuva. You can't even hear from a misasek, you know, which is, you know, fascinating. Or if you needed kavanas shomeo mashmia, you know, even if you had kavanas, you know, mashmia, you know, for himself, but not, you know, to be motzi, and that was ma'akev. So you can't say it's not a shofar to get a shofar for him, right? So there is evidence, I'm trying to show, in the Rambam, despite his advocacy of a strong view of Shmia. The Rambam says there's no mitzvah b'aveira in shofar because ein b'kol din gezel, and there's a mitzvah of Shmia out of tekiah. It sounds like the Rambam is saying, if the mitzvah had been tekiah, then a shofar ha-gezel, you know, would have been you know, mitzvah b'aveira. I'm sorry, we're running... This is to give you a few examples. But especially, you know, some of the evidence then is that even for the Rambam, the tekiah has, you know, special stature. And as I say, the sugya of kavanah shoveya umashmiya seems to prove, you know, that even when you have a chefza shokol, if it's a chefza shokol for one person, you know, then if somebody else hears it, you know, shouldn't that be enough? The other things you could say, call of a katan, the call of an akum, the call of a, you know, never mind, an echo, let's say. It's not a chepza shol kol. So even if you only need shmia, but you need shmia sa kol, right? But if it's a call for, you know, Reuven, who's blowing, you know, how can it not be a call for Shimon, who's hearing? So at the end of the day, there does seem to be evidence, and Achronim pick up on this, that even if you hold shmia, the tekiah is more than hechatimtzi. And I think that's a pshat in the Rambam, and that's why he thinks, you know, that it's better to have one. Why is it better to have one tokeah? And why should the tokeah's status with regard to sikha be any different than anybody else? If it's just producing the call so that everybody can be shomea. Okay, so why am I telling you all this? And the Ritva holds the mitzvah shmia, but there's still mitzvah b'aveira. It's another one of my rayas. So, the point of this is that, you know, the Rav used to say in the name of Reb Chaim that maybe the argument in the Nusach HaBracha, whether you say Lishmoa or Al Tekiyas or Litzkoa, whatever it is, I don't mean the Al and the Le at the moment, I mean the emphasis on the Ki and Shmia, maybe it really isn't a Machlokas, you know, about, you know, the Ikar Mitzvah of Shofar, which is the way it's taken, you know, by most. Maybe it's a Machlokas in Uchos Brachos. Some of the things that we've discussed previously, like let's say you have a mitzvah where the Maisa mitzvah is one thing and the Kiyuma mitzvah is something else. So let's say here, let's say that we conclude that there, the Maisa mitzvah is the Tekiah. The Kiyuma mitzvah is Ayyadei Shmiah. So then the question is, does the Bracha reflect the Maisa or the Kiyum? That's a little bit different than what I was talking about when talking about Mitzvah Mangar, but they were talking about, you know, the Chiyuv, you know, versus both the Maisa and the Kiyum. You know what I mean? The Chiyuv, the Maisa, and the Kiyum. In Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama. Here it's more, you know, we're talking about Bar Chiyuva, but we're talking about, let's say, the Maisa Mitzvah of Shofar is Ayyadei Tekiah, but the Kiyuma Mitzvah is Ayyadei Shmiah. So what's Koveya for the Bracha? What's koveh for mitzvah mamavera? That's my part of it. The Rav mostly said this about, in the name of Rav Chaim, about Rabbeinu Tam. That even though Rabbeinu Tam says, you say, the bracha al tkiya, maybe he really agrees that it's mostly al shmiya, but he just thinks that the bracha reflects the maisa mitzvah. But I think you can explain these other phenomena, you know, for the Rambam, in a parallel opposite way. Anyway, why am I telling you this now? So I think this becomes a really interesting question for our discussion, too. Because what is the Ramban saying? Ramban is saying, well, Tkiya Shofar looks like it's Al Yedei Acher, or Afshar Al Yedei Shliach. It's not a Dover Sheba Gufo. So why are you making, you know, Al Tkiya Shofar? Or Al Shmias, you know, Shofar? Why are you making the bracha? I'm sorry, the other way. Why aren't you making Al Tkiyas or Al Shmias? Why are you making Lishmoa Kol Shofar? So the Ramban is saying, because everybody is Shomea separately. So the Ramban is basically neutralizing the importance of the Tkiya Al Yedea Tokeya, which would imply a kind of Shomea Kaona, or at least something. At minimum, you know, the Ramban, you know, is telling you that the mitzvah is Shmiya, not Tkiya. That's fine. That's clear, he's saying that. But what I'm saying is, that might not be enough. Because it could be that the Maisa mitzvah is Tkiya, and the Kiyama mitzvah is Shmiya. In which case, just like, you know, the Rabbeinu Tam and Rambam question, you know, and it doesn't have to be the same answer, it's just a parallel question. When it comes to Le and Al and Efshar Yedei Acher, everybody doesn't have to do the Maisa separately. Right? So I think this is not Pashut, frankly, at all. And this brings us to the next point. So the Rishon will give different answers. It could be because they're avoiding this. And they do give different answers. And this leads us to the next point. Go ahead, if you don't mind. Oh. Yeah. So here he's saying, and when it comes to Mikra Megillah, there's also like the same theoretical possibility, right? Namely that the Kriya is just a Hechetimse for Shmiya Samegillah. And of course we know the famous view of the, we're familiar with the famous view of the Bahag, right, which is that Nashim are obligated to Shmiya, not Bikriya. And that might even affect the Nusach HaBracha. It's interesting. Would it affect the Nusach HaBracha only on the Shmiya and Kriya part? Or also on the Lamed and the Al? Ah, interesting question, right? So, you know, they're definitely, again, it's the question that we just discussed in Tkiya and Shmiya and Shofar, and the question of Kriya and Shmiya in Megillah are parallel questions. I mean, the Ramban is saying they're parallel questions, but the emphasis, but, you know, we distinguish. And what are you going to say about Nashim? Okay. But, again, it's not so simple. So what the Ramban is trying to emphasize here, what's this idea of Kriya Satevos? Hard to know exactly what he means. Shem lo shama kriyas tevos lo yotza. What does that mean? And some people say pisuk osios. I mean, there's a din in the Megillah, right? Not only that you should, you know, hear from a bar chiyuva who's reading from a klaf. Maybe that's just the hagdara of shmias Megillah, just like there's a hagdara of shmias kol haShofar. But more than that, that somehow, like the tsura, the question is how to test this, and that's not for now. Somehow the tsura of reading, the fact that you're reading the tsuras haosios, you know, that it's kind of a kriya, public kriya, rather than simply a hekotimtsi for shmiya of heftza shall psuke hamegillah, is relevant. Okay? This may have a lot to do also with the question of Koloshon and Targumim and you know, Yevani and Sirtut, you know, the more, right, that we require, you know, in terms of the Megillah, it's the Chepsa Shel Megillah and the Osios, you know, the Kpeda for that, the more, you know, credence, the Kriya part, as opposed to the Shmiya part, gets. Because the point is, of course, you need a Klaf, you need a Megillah, it's Shmiya of something, a Chepsa, whatever, but it, as long as it's only Chepsa Shel, you know, Psukei HaMegillah, you know, as opposed to a little more subtle, you know, Kriyas, the Maisa Kriyas HaMegillah, right, the way to differentiate that would be, you know, just how much of a kpeda there is, you know, on these nuances, on these details. Okay, so yeah, some people talk about, you know, the hefsek part of this, the Rosh and others. Yeah. Okay, so that again is something to think about. What about Kriyas HaHalel? We'll get to that. Don't you talk about Kriyas HaHalel here? Or is that somebody else? Hakoltsa Rosh Lo Tavo? Where's that? That's later? Oh, that's the Rosh. So what does the Rosh say about the Hallel? Again, the Rosh brings up Hallel in context of Mikra Megillah. Right? You have that line? Go ahead, if you don't mind. What's that? So no more the Tmidius question, that's one thing. But also I thought they have the distinction of... is it the line before in the Ramban? I thought it was.
On the
Rosh. Yeah. So that's also very interesting. Yeah. So again, this question: how to evaluate that? You know, that if that is part of the really the cheftza of the experience of Hallel, right? And that shows that it's not all yidei shliach, or it's like, you know, you sing along, you know, you do a little bit of, you know, more emphatic, you know, responsive, you know, reading, right? Clearly, the Rishonim thought that was, you know, an important part of what defines Hallel. So both of these answers are very interesting in terms of actualization. What do you make of the Tmidi answer? Again, the Onim Hatzibur Barashe Prakim, that part we understand what it is. You know, whether that's just like, you know, kind of an involvement thing, or it really shows, you know, it's everybody's Dover Shibagufo in a way. Right? Right? Oh, the Shihui.
Yeah, so he's not necessarily relating to the Chiyu of
Oh, I thought he also had it in the other part. He didn't have any other part also? The other Rishonim did. Okay. Either way, how would you explain the Tadirus part?
He has the other part.
He does, right? That's what I thought.
The same idea,
both.
Right,
that's in the second one.
Right, but not the Tmidius.
Oh, the Tmidius is only in the first one.
Right.
Okay, got it. How do you make sense of the Tmidius in the first one? Who cares? I mean, whenever you have it, it's a... It's a miyad, not a shihui. We'll hopefully get back to that in a minute. Just think about that for a minute. Just finish up with Ramban. What is Ramban's view on Sfiras HaOmer? Because I do have to run like 2 more minutes. 5 more minutes?
Sfiras HaOmer,
7 more minutes? Right, so this, of course, again, is a gem. Okay, what's he weighing in on? So he's weighing in on a very interesting question, but it's even more interesting that this is a relevant factor for this issue. What's the interesting question? The relationship between, you know, the past and the future. All right, the Akravas HaOmer and Chag HaShavuos. Or the Korban Shtei Lechem, maybe. Whatever it is. Right? In other words, in Sfiras HaOmer, are you counting from or are you counting to? So we know that's a huge debate. You know, it was made famous, you know, more by the Chinuch, you know, who asked it that way. Like, you know, how come we're, you know, counting from, shouldn't we be counting to? Because, you know, we're awaiting, you know, Maimed Har Sinai. It's a countdown. And then he says, oh, it's like too depressing. You know, we're going to stay, you know, 49 days to go. You might as well just, you know, that's not going to trigger, you know, great joy and happiness. Only 49 days to go, right? So that's a practical answer. But as we know, there's a huge debate whether Sfiras HaOmer is from or to or both. Right? There are those who think that it is to, like the Chinuch, notwithstanding the way that it's set up. And there are those who think, you know, also that it's to, and they even explain, some of them, Yabudram and others, that the Shechiyanu that you might have said in Sfiras HaOmer, the question Balamor asks in the end of Psachim, and they give different answers to it, you know, the Shechiyanu is, you're going to say it in Shavuos, because it all belongs to Shavuos. You know, and other indications as well. There are those who seem to think that it's from, like the Rambam in Hilchos Tmidim, you know, quotes the Dinim of Sfiras HaOmer in the context of Chag HaMatzos, you know, and only in the next parak does he start speaking about Shavuos. So the implication is that it comes from. Actually, look at the psukim in the Torah, it's really two. That's the way the parshios, the stumos, psuchos, whatever it is, are broken up. Really, all the dinim of Sfiras HaOmer are connected to the Korban Shtei Lechem. They're not to Chag HaMatzos. But in the Rambam, it's not that way. And I always like to quote the Avnei Nezer, who says that, you know, Avnei Nezer is trying to explain, this is a funny Ramban in Kiddushin that seems to say that women would be obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. Some people think it's Tosafot, so far, but it triggered a lot of discussion. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in which he says that, you know, that's because, you know, Sfiras HaOmer belongs to Pesach. And in Pesach, you know, the Ptur of Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama, you know, is largely neutralized because your women are obligated even to matzah because of the Yisr Chametz. That's an interesting example. The Ramban himself, in his Perish Al HaTorah, you know, says that that Sfiras HaOmer is a kind of a Chol HaMoed, a bridge, you know, between Pesach and Shavuos. Like Shavuos is like the Atzeres of Pesach. That's how he understands it. So it's interesting that here, you know, he says Shekvar Nikar VaOmer. That's true. They monim imenu v'lo monin lo. Therefore, rather than talking of al kefisha nagu, so it's just very interesting. But what does that have to do with anything? I mean, what does whether you count from or to? Why is that relevant to this question? Whether you say le or al, Asher, what do you think? If it's future oriented, it sounds like he thinks that it's really like a. So this goes. Let me just add one other hakdama first. I mean, as we've said all along, you know, these criteria, whether it's, you know, miad and shihui, or tamid, or whatever it is, whether it's, you know, efshar yidei shliach and you know, davar shebegufo, or the ambiguities in between, they're not standalone, probably. And that's why there can be exceptions, you know, or you can substitute, in some cases, one for the other. And his forbidden parents, we count in the difficulty, like they sound like they're a little bit opposite. That's a problem a bit. But all things being equal, the ability to substitute, like say, oh, it's like the Rambam, you know, it's a mididag be nafak be kind of a thing, like bircham, so, you know, so therefore it's an exception. And the Ramban has that too. We'll see in a moment in matzah, or maror, actually, you know, in a case where you already ate maror. We'll get to it in a second. So how do you understand these exceptions? It could be, again, that the, you know, if you take the view that the Nusach HaBracha anyway is pretty fluid, you know, both options are available, these are nuances, you know, so, you know, some of the structural things can take over. Fine. But I think the bigger idea, getting back to it, is that these issues, you know, themselves, you know, belong to a bigger question. That is, you're emphasizing the Maisa Mitzvah, right? The Chiyuv, you know, the Gavra, or you're emphasizing more, you know, the Chalos HaMitzvah, the Chefza Shel Mitzvah, right, the institution, right? The more you say, especially, you know, the distinction, you know, of Efshar Yedei Shliach and so on, right, the more you say Le, the more you're focusing on the particular Maisa and the particular Chova and the particular Gavra HaMechuyev, and the more you say Al, and it sounds that way, right? It sounds like you're talking more about the Chefza Shel Mitzvah, the Chalos HaMitzvah, the institution of the Mitzvah. So I think that that is also an explanation why, you know, you can do some of these substitutions. You know, and what we're trying to say in some of the cases is that, you know, there are other factors, you know, that even if they don't strictly conform, you know, to the question of Efshar B'Shlichos or Lo Efshar B'Shlichos, you know, in either direction. You know, there are cases where it's only this Gavra can do it, but. And there are other cases where anybody can do it, but. And I think that's what we're saying about Sfiras HaOmer as well. Are you in Sfiras HaOmer, like it's a mitzvah every night to be Mona towards, even then I'm not sure, but, or is it, you know, kind of this bridge idea, you know, from something that already took place, you know, to something else. You're building something. It isn't the mice of Sfiras HaOmer. There's a chalos of Sfiras HaOmer. There's a cheftza of the tkufa, you know, of Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore, it's more appropriate to say al than it is to say le. Okay? So that, I think, is what we're really trying to say with all of this. And that explains other examples. So again, let's say later on, we'll talk about achilas matzah, because I really do have to stop. So with regard to achilas matzah, the Ramban is struggling, right? Do you have that part? What's the problem there? The different nuschos, number one. The Gemara's, the Tosefta's, you know, just to straighten out the facts are a little difficult. But the problem is, it seems to be mixed evidence whether you should say al achilas maror or lecholas maror, whatever it is, right? So he himself, you know, tries to be medayik that there's a difference between, in maror at least, between Rav Huna, right, or the equivalent in matzah for Rav Huna, and everybody else. What is that? You saw it?
Yeah. In the case of Rav Huna, where, should I just read the line?
Yeah, if you don't mind, great. Okay. Now, he thinks based factually that typically you say lechol, correct? Okay. And the only time, this is what he's suggesting, the only time you'll say al, oh, kind of what Ramban said about Bir Chametz a little bit, and then again the lulav paradigm. And but what is that? Meaning, the case of Rav Huna is you don't have enough vegetables, right? So you only have maror as your vegetable, you know. But so you want to use maror as karpas, I guess, right? And then later on you want to use it as maror. And that's the question: what do you do, or you know, whether you can do that or not? Because you already ate maror, how could you hold off the bracha of alachila? You're going to make a bracha bar peradama, but you're not going to make the alachila smaror when you read it later on. You've already eaten it, correct? what's the idea? That you don't have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of marar, and then later on you'll eat it b'toras marar. Now you're eating it as a vegetable, and later on you're going to eat it as marar. And then, and only then, you'll say, not lechol, but you'll say, ah, lachilas marar, says Rabban, because you're already milei kreso, right? Afal bishalo achal l'shem marar, right? It's kim mevarech lachar. It isn't really mevarech achar mitzvah, not the berachas mitzvah, right? Umevarech al. Let's say you had, you could have a similar situation with matzah too, by the way, because we've shown them all have this whole discussion that the Rif quote, the Gonim rather, have discussion, the Rif quotes, the Rambam quotes, right? Let's say you only had one, matzah, shmura, well, how do you, and you want to save it for the afikoman, right? So, but you have to, say a motzi beforehand. So you don't want to make the bracha of la'alachilas matzah, till you can have a similar, possibly a similar kind of situation. Oh, so what does this mean? But I think what it means is simple. I think it's similar to the same idea. I think what we're saying is, even, and again, you could have argued on a technical, not a subtle, maybe even lamdisha point, right? It's hard to say that the bracha right now is on the maisa of achilas marar, because you already ate marar. So it's really on the kiyum mitzvah, the chalos mitzvah, etc. You've held out, that part. So you can't say lechol because marar because you did it already, right? What you're now talking about, you have a bracha which isn't on the maisa mitzvah that you did already, but what you held back was the kiyum mitzvah, the chalos mitzvah. So now you're making a bracha on the chalos mitzvah. Now you have to make the bracha al. Right? Similarly, again, in these subtle kind of things, I'm sorry, did you want to ask a question first?
Yeah, elaborating on that, in a way, is it possible that Marar, is always more experiential and about...
I think that's possible, too. But I mean, I said a second ago that you could have a parallel in matzah, and I think that that's, that might be the case. But I do think that, I think I mentioned that the other day, didn't I mention the other day? We're talking about Marar? Then Marar might be more experiential. We're talking about Yeyek, because we're talking about, the need for a bracha, the Rav's idea. But in general, whether you need Kazayas, the relation of the Kazayas to the Marar. In general, I don't know if I said that part of it then, but there are some Akronim who say that, who interpret that Rush is suffix in a much more, I think, fundamental way even, and that is to say, be'inan tamarar v'leka, the idea of tamar, the experience of marar, is a bigger factor in marar than it is in other things. Just one second. Okay. Hello? Yeah, I'll be there in a couple of minutes. Yeah. Where is it again? Okay. Yeah, they're after me. So, okay, so that's the problem with cell phones, right? And I spoke to the guy Cook. What's his name? Cook. Cook, the guy who's the head of Apple, and then this whole privacy thing. The guy's name is Cook. Anyways, so I spoke to Mr. Cook. I said, just don't give them my location. And he said, I can't help it. So So I do think that that's a possible distinction, but I'm not sure the Ramban, would make that thing. Because structurally, it could have the same thing. And then finally, one more. Inyan Afrashas Trumos V'Chala, right, is also very interesting distinctions. And then Din B'Takin and so on. So here he's also Mechalek, between, interestingly, between the Shlichos of first of all, the difference between Meiser Sheni, right, pigeon meiser sheni, v'avadai kach she'im podim chova, it's only a reshus, l'fikach shanu beino bein afrasha ba'al. Okay? You say al pigeon meiser sheni instead of liftos, that he attributes to the fact, I'll say it, the way I understand it, that it's a matir, right, not necessarily a mitzvah, that's a big issue. So I think that Ramban's l'shitaso, Ramban say for mitzvos, is afrashas truma in general just being takein or tikkun ateva and it's a matir, or it's really a mitzvah? That's a discussion of the Ramban Sefer Mitzvos. You know, but Meiser Sheni, to be Poda Meiser Sheni, is certainly a Matir. So again, why is a Matir, even if only you can do, why does that get an Al? I think, again, because it's you're not relating to the Chiyuv. There's no Chiyuv, and we don't really care about the Maisa, you know, per se. But even earlier, he has another interesting idea, and that's Hafrashas Truma V'Chala. So here he tries to suggest what? That you would say, Yesh L'Takin doesn't keep it in a Nasus HaYidei Acher Midaiton El HaYidei Shliach Shaso Bailim. That's also a Madrega. That it is HaYidei Shliach. He can't deny that Trumas Maestras is HaYidei Shliach, because Atem Gam Atem, one of the Makoros for Shulchan Kamoso, and specific dinim that we learn is from Truma. Right? But what he's suggesting is that there are different levels of Shlichas. And here you need a Shliach Midaiton, like you wouldn't say Zachin. That's a big issue of Sugya Nadarim, Daf Lam and Vav. I think I mentioned the other day. In general, the Ramban has certain tudeos in Gittin, Samachay, whether you need Shlichus L'Truma. You know, you can have Shlichus L'Truma. In the Rambam also, there's indications that Shlichus works L'Truma, but it might work differently with Truma. Rambam Menuchas Truma seems to say that the din of Shinod Midas Balabailim is treated differently in Truma than in other things when it comes to Shlichas. So I think that what this highlights is something really important, and that is that even when we're talking about Shlichas, there are different levels of Shlichas. Very similar to what we were discussing about Mila, and Bir Chametz, and other things. That sometimes, people can do things for you because the result is all that's important, and as long as it's Mitzuref and it accrues to you, then that's good enough. And other times like in Kiddushin, that's Shlucho Shodim Kamoso. He couldn't do it. He can't, it's your wife, it's your kinyan. Only he can do it for, only, he can only do it, but Torah's your, representative. And then there are things that are even more personal, let's say Shlichas, Bekabalas Aget, where we say Yad HaShliach Yad, HaBailim, where it's not even like, oh, I farmed it out, I gave jurisdiction, I gave you Bailis to do this on my behalf, but it's literally like, you're an extension, of my Yad. So what is Koveya, the Gabe, the Bracha, when you have these different levels of, where there is, there's a Bailis component, but it also works HaYidei Acherim, but depending on what that level or relationship is, that may determine also in terms of the Nusach HaBracha, and that's a really important reason to be Mechalek, possibly, between things that otherwise structurally look very similar. That's kind of what the Ramban is saying. What about maybe the difference between Afrashas Chala and Afrashas Truma, frankly? There's certainly a difference between Pidgin, Meiser, Sheni and the others. Maybe there's a difference between Mila, like we were talking about the Rambam, between Mila and Bir Chametz, right? Etc. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here. Yemir Hashem, just a couple of more words about this, maybe next time, but otherwise we'll never end. And mostly we're starting on Daf Tes Amud Aleph on Tuesday. Okay.